Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. We're continuing our look through the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
So they hid him, and they took measures of faith to save his life, Moses' life, not even thinking about their own life. But of Moses' life, they hid him despite the danger to them. They were risking their own lives to save his. And we see that in the story in Exodus chapter 2. I want you to turn there real quick, and I just want to share just 10 verses. I'll just read without commenting. I'll try, okay? But this is what it's talking about. Exodus chapter number 2 is a story. It's the account of what's taking place here in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 23, about when Moses was born. Exodus chapter 1, Pharaoh saw that there were a lot of Israelites in Egypt. They were outnumbering the Egyptians. They were multiplying. I mean, like roaches. They're having a lot of kids and all. And Pharaoh said, we got to do something about this. And you remember the story, Exodus chapter 1. I have to have all the male babies. We're going to kill all the male babies. And anyway, that's what's in chapter number 1. And all you remember about the male babies and all. Anyway, verse number 1, chapter number 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. This is Amram and Jochebed that we find later. They're identified. Their names are identified. And the woman, Jochebed, conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now, they hid him in the house. Probably what was, again, the Bible does not say, but the baby's... Luke, I guess your baby starts crying, you know, and in the middle of the night, you know, and will you hush? I can just imagine. About 3 months, they couldn't. The baby's crying. Oh, well, we got to do something to save this baby's life. So they were hid Moses in the house for 3 months. Verse number 3, and when she could no longer hide him in their house, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink, right on the edge of the water, the river. And his sister, which we know is Miriam, stood afar off to wit to what would be done to him. The word wit is that old King James word. They're going to wonder what is going to happen to my baby brother. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And when you read this, this is the sovereignty of God. It just wasn't per happenstance, or she just didn't happen to come. This is the sovereignty of God. She came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked up along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, the bulrushes, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept and began crying, and she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." A young boy, and of course, she knew the decree of her dad, which was the Pharaoh, the decree that you're going to kill all these male babies. Well, here's a male baby. It's a Hebrew child. Here's an interesting part of the story, verse number 7. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter. Remember, she's watching in the distance. And Pharaoh's daughter retrieves Moses, baby, she names him Moses, because the word Moses means drawn out of the river, drawn out of the water. That's what the name Moses means. Anyway... The sister Miriam said, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she might nurse the child for thee?" I wonder who she had in mind. Again, the sovereignty of God. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Miriam's sister, go find somebody. And the maid went and called the child's mom. Don't you know? Jochebed was so happy. And now here's the neat thing. Verse number 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, the mom, Jochebed, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I'll give you wages. I'm going to pay you to do it. Only God could do something like that, okay? Not only was his life saved, she gets the baby back, and she gets paid now to take care of her own baby. That's a God thing. And the woman took the child, and she nursed it. Verse number 10, and the child grew. We're going to get back to this verse here in a minute. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, in other words, Pharaoh's son, or being Pharaoh's grandson. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. What a wonderful story we see about Anyway, Amram and Jochebed were descendants of Levi. But apart from their act of faith, we do not know much about them. So about all we know. But God used them in a great way to carry out his plan and his purpose. Talking about mom and dad. Even though we don't know nothing about them. We just know their names and the tribe that they're from. But yet God had them in mind to carry out his plan and purpose. We can always remember that God does not need mighty men or well-known prominent people to carry out his perfect will and his perfect plan. He just uses regular folk like us-ins, like we-ins, okay? Just regular folk. Matter of fact, we read this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 27. Let me back up for verse number 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised has God chosen, yea, the things which are not to brought and bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So God used an unknown mom and dad to make things happen in God's economy for the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt. A very important part. We must never forget that an obscure, little-known, insignificant mother and father were the main instruments in God's miraculous preservation of a Hebrew baby who one day would become the man who would deliver Israel from bondage. That's why that one verse is inserted there, even though we don't know much about them. Just their names and the tribe that they're from. They were godly people. We're going to look about this in just a minute. God inserted that by faith. Moses was hid by his parents. Interesting. And then look at verse number 24, 25, and 26. Hebrews chapter number 11. Moses grows up, and I won't go into all the details. Remember, he's about 40 years. There's three stages in Moses' life. Most of you already heard this. It's so old, it's got whiskers on it, okay? Three stages of Moses' life. They're divided into 40-year segments. The first 40 years, Moses was raised in Pharaoh's palace. The first 40 years of Moses' life, he thought he was something. His grandpa is the Pharaoh. Well, the next 40 years of life, you know what happened? Moses killed somebody who was beating a Hebrew. Remember that? Killed him. We're going to read about this in just a second. And he fled. He ran away. So the second 40 years of Moses' life, and Moses was a shepherd. Jethro's father. On the backside, it's all about Midian for 40 years. So the first 40 years, he thought he was something. The next 40 years, he thought he was nothing. His old shepherd out here in the desert. But the last 40 years of Moses' life, God made something out of nothing. The next 40 years of Moses' life, he led the people of Israel out of Egypt, and he led them through the wilderness for 40 years. And that's the three stages of Moses' life. Well, it's interesting. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, that's about 40 years of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He rejected that. Interesting. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. As the adopted son, Moses, of the Egyptian princess, man, he had it made. He was living the life, I used to call it the life of Riley. Again, these old people might know, I shouldn't say old people, because I is one now, because I'm referring back to these things. Remember, he had living the life of Riley, that thing, okay? He was living the life of luxury. He had the best of everything, living in the household of Pharaoh. But his faith, Moses' faith, moved him to refuse to live that easy life in the palace.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.